That's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And this week, we have a very special edition watch along, and we're teaming up once again with Talking Taker. And this time, it's a full team up. We got Alex and Travis from Talking Taker, and we're going to cover First Blood from Fully Loaded 1999 Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV, and as I said, with Talking Taker, Alex and Travis. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. Thank you guys for having us, and I guarantee you at some point during all this, all four of us will be bleeding, because there is so much blood during this match, I think it's only fair.
Oh yes, there will be blood. Now, it's good to be here, good to meet you guys, good to have the full-on tag team right here, especially because our tag team specialist, The Undertaker, somebody we've learned from, so good to be
here. First time we have... Thank you. The first time we have a four-man booth, too, which is going to be difficult because even with three people sometimes, we'll speak over each other from time to time. So we'll have to figure out this four-man booth like the WWE does
from time to time. That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
That's right.
JV, what's going on?
Ah, nothing much. Gearing up for another watch-along here. And like Alex mentioned to kick us off, it's going to be a lot of blood.
Yes, and this is a special edition episode, of course. So we're recording this before we actually record the regular episode covering the build up to this match. And Alex, by saying that, made me chuckle because every episode leading up to this is just constant blood. There's blood every week on Raw. So we said, yeah.
We were joking right before we got on. We were talking to each other saying, I think this is like a 10th blood match because like every week somebody is busted open.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's not the first blood. For sure. Everyone's getting busted open.
So you've already watched leading up to it, Mike? I haven't yet. So because you've got the notes ready and stuff? Or
I don't have the notes totally ready yet. I'm on the Raw right before this pay-per-view.
Okay.
So I haven't even watched the match yet. I'm just at the point where Stone Cold drove out with the blood van. Blood mobile.
Bloodmobile. Oh, no, I totally forgot what that is, so I can't wait to relive that.
Once you see it, you will never.
It's the Bloodmobile? That's great.
Yes, the Bloodmobile.
We could actually call because... this the first episode of Busted Open Radio.
I was listening to you guys talk about this on your episode that you did probably a year ago at this point. And Travis brought up a great point about the whole the blood mobile and how Vince Russo was probably in the back saying, yeah, shoot a bunch of blood out of it. And everybody like the beer.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, that's great. That's
ultimate
perfect.
Blood glass.
That's probably something they definitely would have thought about. So spot on with that.
Oh, you know bro, we got Bloodmobile, bro. It's just blowing all over everybody. There's blood everywhere.
Bro.
Yeah.
No, but the great line you had with it, though, it's like, it's all clean blood, bro. It's all clean. It's all approved blood. Nobody's going to get HPV on it. Nobody's going to get HIV, anything.
No Bob Orton blood.
Yeah. We just covered Cowboy Bob Arden on the show this past week, and thank goodness, yeah, he was not involved in this because that would not have been clean.
All right, so this episode, as I said, is a special edition. It's actually a Twitter poll winner, and it's a common trend We've put like four polls up, and the Undertaker versus Austin wins almost every single time.
That's awesome.
AV and I are starting to think it's a rib. And I know you guys, obviously, are doing the Undertaker show, so you think very highly of the Undertaker, but I feel like the Austin-Undertaker match is always, like, the worst matches.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You know, we have kind of found that their pay-per-view matches kind of pale in comparison to their TV matches. Like, they, especially when y'all get into 2000, 2001, they have some barn burners on Raw and SmackDown. But for some reason on pay-per-view, I don't know if it's like having to have longer matches or whatever it is. Just it's just kind of always a flop.
Ah. I mean, speaking of the matches on Raw, just when Austin beats Undertaker for the title weeks before this.
Right, yeah, that's a good match. I enjoyed that one.
It's almost like the expectations are too high when it's pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
They build it up too much.
Too much pressure, and then they can't perform. But on Raw, where there's, you know, you got, I don't know, more people watching, technically. You get more millions watching, but they just, like, have a free-for-all, just go at it, and it's also always even better. So I don't know what the deal is, but it seemed to work out that way.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
On this poll that we had, it was just three matches on the poll. We had King of the Ring, Austin versus the McMahons. We had the Fully Loaded match that we're covering here, and then we had the SummerSlam match, Austin versus Mankind and Triple H. And Undertaker won 43%.
Dang.
43%. And the Mankind Triple H match was 29%. The McMahons were 28%. And we actually did a watch-along just a couple weeks ago for the McMahons because of some technical issues that we had. So we had to just get something out there. So we did that, even though it won last place. JP and I joked about it, like, yeah, you guys have been screwing us with these crappy Undertaker matches, so we're going to go with the last place.
Well, I think you just see those names together. You see Austin and Undertaker, and you just, you know their careers, you know just how awesome they are, so you just kind of vote for that match, and you forget that, oh, maybe they just don't have that same chemistry with each other for some reason. And you, against those other matches that don't jump off the page to you for some reason. Maybe that might be part of it too.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
Yeah, I think
that. I also think a part of it is a lot of the people that are going to vote, that vote, they don't listen anyway. No. So it's like, they put their vote in, and it's like, we're not going to listen anyway.
Sabotage.
Yeah, so that's what we've been saying all along with these polls is, you guys are kind of sticking it to us, but we'll do it anyway because that's what won.
That's right. So
we thought it would be a great opportunity for you guys to come back since we just did a show with you. We did Fully Loaded 98, so here we are now with you guys, Fully Loaded 99. So I thought it was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it's good symmetry.
You guys, yeah, so it worked out. All right, so we're going to get into the match in just a moment, but I do want to plug some other things there, is we just started a new YouTube channel. Finally, after a year, we got YouTube. We got 4 subscribers at this point. And I looked at your guys' subscribers, and you got over 100, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think we've had ours for maybe a year now. Well, you guys are about to have 5 subscribers. I'm about to go over there.
Oh,
so.
Oh, cool. Nice. There you go.
Thanks. You'll have 6 when this is over. Yeah.
We're growing.
So it's the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast YouTube channel. We currently have the first 20 episodes up and a couple of the top 5 of Austin's career. So we do 1996, top 5 moments of Austin. In 1997 is up there right now, and the other ones will come up gradually. Tomorrow I'll have more time to add more on the weekend, so yeah, as you guys probably know, it's kind of a pain in the butt to get all those up.
Yeah, it can be. So, yeah, but I'll tell you, like, yeah, we have some episodes randomly that get like hundreds of views on YouTube. I mean, I don't know how real all any of that is, but I mean, I don't know. It's out there, so you'll definitely get some new listeners and new audience out there. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, and we have some people that I think strictly listen on YouTube. Like, they'll comment on YouTube and they don't you can't tell them on, like, you can't see them on Twitter or hear from them that way. They always comment on YouTube, and our numbers will be astronomical in some episodes. So it's really weird, but it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, it definitely should help. Is everybody there still? Because I just heard a bunch of noises.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I'm still here too.
All right.
It was the Bloodmobile.
All right, so yeah, definitely help us out, guys, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like I said on our last episode, just put it on. It's something to fall asleep, basically, too. You know, you put it on your TV, you go to the YouTube app, and just put it on and take a listen to us. So check that out. If you want to follow us on Twitter, though, I'm at MPRU83. JV is at John Van Damage, and Bottom Line Cast is at Bottom Line Cast. Also, check out our other show, the Extreme ECW Livecast. And this week, JV and I are covering the Supercard Ultra Clash, number one, September 18th, 1993. And that Twitter handle is at ExtremeCast, and it's on the BTT Booking the Territory Patreon feed at the $5 tier. So check out the Extreme ECW Livecast with JV and I. And this coming week on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, we are covering episode 53, which is the end of an era, July of 1999, where we're going to cover this match in the lead up to this match that we're going to cover here on this special edition watch along with Talking Taker. All right. So with that said, let's reach out to our boys here at Talking Taker. We were on their episode 2 weeks ago, right?
Right. Yeah. Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And they kind of surprised Jamie and I, Alex, it surprised us. Than we are, apparently. He had questions for us. Whereas we have Alex on, we're like, all right, let's just watch this, and we just watch it. But he had some questions for us, and time for all listeners to hear the story behind Talking Taker with Alex and Travis. And we got very similar dynamics. We're both, JV and I, Alex and Travis, both friends from high school. Now we do a podcast about one of our favorite wrestlers. So pretty similar dynamics for these two shows that you guys listen to. So let's listen to what Alex and Travis have to say about how their show came about and their fandom for The Undertaker and all of that. So Alex, can you kick us off with how the show came together, this Talking Taker show?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll let Travis, if you want to, you take the lead, man, because I've been on the show. I've been over here on the Bottom Line before. So if you want to kind of start it off, and I'll jump in there if you want.
All right, sounds good. Well, Alex has done podcasts before and with other things and various little projects. And he's always better about media stuff than I am. I'm out of touch with everything. But we watched, was it WrestleMania 2017? Was that the one?
Yeah, it was 33.
Yeah, I don't even know the numbers anymore. I'm buying into Vince's Kool-Aid. He doesn't want to do the numbers anymore, and I'm drinking it. So he just calls it WrestleMania now. But anyway, so yeah, WrestleMania 33, it was Roman Reigns versus Undertaker, and we watched that one in my house, right? You come here to watch it?
That's right.
Yeah, so we watched that one here. That was when the Hardy Boys returned, big to-do there. So yeah, we watched that one, and, you know, we thought it was the end of an era, like we're talking about here. We thought Taker was done. He laid his hat in the ring, his gloves, his jacket. I mean, the camera focused on all of that. And when Alex got home from my house the next day, he drove back to Atlanta and called me and was like, hey, man, I got this idea. And because, you know, at that point, I thought Taker was done. And it was like, you know, 1990, 2017. That's a lot of time to cover. But, you know, he's been there. He wrestled, you know, Hulk Hogan. He wrestled against all kind of Jake the Snake, you know, King Kong Bundy, all these guys from the old school, yet he still wrestled Roman Reigns. You know, he wrestled Bray Wyatt. He wrestled new guy. He wrestled guys in between like Austin, Randy Orton, freaking Luther Reigns. You know, you got these guys like that. But seriously, he's touched gloves with everybody, you know, and he just covers over several different decades. And so Alex is like, what if we just went by and did, you know, a podcast where we just broke down like his pay-per-view matches, because everybody has a podcast where they break down Raw, they break down SmackDown, or NXT, or the big pay-per-view shows, or like something to wrestle. They pick one content, like one thing, and they just break it down for, you know, a couple hours. Alex had this genius idea, which was, let's take this character, let's tell his story over the course of a podcast. It has a beginning and it has an end, you know? Well, we thought it had an end, but I'll let you take it from there, Alex.
Yeah, but we said that 2 years ago, and now he's still competing here in 2019. Yeah, exactly. That was our big mistake. But we always joke that you guys definitely made the better choice with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He hadn't wrestled in 16 years. We still don't know when our podcast is going to be over, but that's all right. It just makes it even more fun because we think we've added on maybe a dozen more matches since we started. So that just makes it even more interesting and exciting. But yeah, it's been a blast doing it. We're 2 years in and we've got just a little bit over a year to go by my last calculations. We've got about 65 to 70 matches, kind of depending on, you know, how much more Undertaker might add on and maybe throw a few bonus episodes in there. So we should finish up by the end of next year. And it's been a great ride. Like you guys mentioned, Travis and I, we've been best friends since about the sixth grade. We met in middle school and bonded right there in the heart of the Attitude Era in 97 and 98. I mean, we're from Augusta, Georgia originally, and we've kind of spread out to Atlanta and Tennessee respectively since then. But man, you guys have talked your story, but I mean, here in the Southeast, dude, wrestling was like nothing else. It felt like everybody in school was watching DX and the NWO and talking about it the next day. So we, you know, we're lifelong fans. We, you know, some people grew out of it, but we never did. We got together through high school, college, and beyond that, watching Monday Night Raw together every week and until we moved apart, and still just, you know, talk on the phone about wrestling all the time. So we decided to turn it into a podcast.
That's excellent. That's amazing. Again, it's parallels JV and I. Like, it's the same thing. You guys met in 97, 98. It's the same time that JV and I met, too. 97, 98.
Oh, that's funny.
Right in the heart of that time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because we actually, like, I've been to some big shows and Alex has been to some big shows, but we have not gone with each other. But we've been to several big shows with each other, but it's funny how we, you know, and we cover all that on the podcast too, just, you know, certain shows we've been at and things we haven't been to together, but through it all, we still were fans and we're friends together. And we just always discuss wrestling. We have more to our relationship than that, but
of course,
but
no, just like Jamie and I,
yeah,
right,
yeah, you know? It's more
all about wrestling. This is
wrestling's
a lot
foundation.
Of it's about wrestling.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. A lot of it is about
you guys went to WrestleMania 20 together, right?
Yep, 20 and 27.
Well, yeah,
we haven't got 27 yet on our show, but we'll get there eventually.
And Travis, on his own, went to the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, I was there when Goldberg beat Hogan.
Goldberg?
Yep, I was there with Goldberg.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I was at the Raw when ECW invaded and became the Alliance. I was there that night as well. Alex, unfortunately, could not come with me.
Yeah, I think I failed a test or something. My parents wouldn't let me go. There's something stupid like that.
JV and I have been to a bunch of Raws and SmackDowns in Providence, of Boston. We went to Survivor Series together in Boston.
Night of Champions, nice. I think, right? We went to that.
Night of Champions. That was a good one. CM Punk versus John Cena. Night of Champions.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That was good.
The Raw and
the Survivor Series.
When Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah!
When Brian finally broke away from the
dude, that's an epic night. Yeah,
that was the greatest yes chant ever.
Yeah, that was good. That was the loudest I've ever been in a wrestling arena.
Yeah,
because it's so small there in Providence. Yeah,
yes.
The one that I didn't go with him was the WrestleMania, Rock versus Cena,
Florida. WrestleMania 28. Miami.
Was that once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime?
That was the first time. And okay. The following year was New York, I think.
Yeah, twice in a lifetime. Then.
Yeah. Like, oh, we got to cash in on this again. I remember being bummed. I'm like, wow, they're really doing it again? I felt cheated.
Yeah, it should have been CM Punk in the main event.
Yeah, but it should have been. It really should have been.
I have yet to go to a WrestleMania, so it'll happen sometime.
It will, absolutely. Absolutely, you need to make it happen. There's nothing like it.
All right, so great stories there, and if you want more, definitely check out Talking Taker. These guys are great, and not only do they cover the Undertaker's history, they also have their own anecdotes, and they talk about their lives and their wrestling experience, and just a great show. So check out Talking Taker, as we always promote on this show. But now, it's time to get into the match. It's time to get the Fully Loaded 1999 from July 25th, and it's a First Blood match, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker. Timestamp is going to be 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 9 seconds. Let's get ourselves set up on the WWE Network. And for all the listeners out there, are you guys ready?
I'm ready. I am ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yep.
All right, so we should have a graphic or just before a graphic of Stone Cold versus The Undertaker.
Yep, calm down. With his smoking skull belt and Taker looking like a priest from the dark side on the right side.
Yeah. And McMahon looking like a douchebag.
That's what McMahon's in the middle like, hey, what am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny because the match is Stone Cold versus Undertaker. There's nothing about the whole Vince McMahon stipulation listed on this thing here. It's right. Like, okay, what's Vince McMahon doing? But the idea is here that it's the end of an era. McMahon's going to be off TV if Austin wins.
Oh boy, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, he gets no more title shots. Hey. So, I'll give you a countdown. Start with 5, down to 1, then we'll hit play when I say play. 5, 3, 2, 1, play. All right, here we are. Fully Loaded, which I don't know if you guys noticed in 98 and 99, the card for Fully Loaded is never fully developed until just the night before, basically.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, that was a signature back then, though.
Yeah, really. I guess you're right.
They didn't have to. Everything was so hot. They didn't have to do that. You people bought tickets, and they were going to buy the pay-per-view regardless, no matter what was on it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like WrestleMania nowadays. It's just the brand. You don't have to. Like, tickets go on sale next week for WrestleMania. Nobody really knows what the main event is. You know?
That's a great point.
You're right. Yeah, I don't care who's playing at the WrestleMania Buccaneers Super WrestleMania. Well, it's probably going to be horrible. Still going to go to it.
Yes.
Would this have been a pay-per-view that you guys ordered back in the day?
Yeah, I watched it. Stole it, but watched it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Black box?
Yeah. My dad's best friend had a black box, so we used to go to his house like every Sunday.
Yeah, so jealous.
Awesome. Sundays a month.
Yeah, multiple.
WWE and WWF.
Yeah.
Did you ever do EC? Well, no, you didn't because you never saw them. Never mind.
Right. I wasn't. My mom wouldn't let me watch
that's
ECW.
Right. I remember you saying that on our show.
Yeah. It's fortunate.
I was able to watch it because nobody was watching me. Because I had access to it at my grandparents' house. So to them, it was just wrestling. They didn't know any better.
Right.
Like, ah, he's watching wrestling.
I watched the first episode of South Park at my grandma's house, too. She had no idea.
Same with me. Well, it's a cartoon. It must be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like Little Did You Know.
It's like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen how much blood is in this build-up video package?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there will be blood. It's everywhere.
I loved Undertaker and Vince signing the contract, but I mean that's so like it's cliche sounding, but I loved it though.
The pen with
Yeah.
Yeah, filling it up with
blood. Yeah.
It was so Memphis was to cool. me. And they don't do a lot of Memphis stuff back then. It was so Mid-South to me. I love that. I could see Dusty Rhodes and, you know, Junkyard Dog doing that.
And Vince McMahon in his wheelchair. That always cracked me up.
Love anybody in a wheelchair. Like Bret Hart in the wheelchair. Vince McMahon in the wheelchair.
Yes.
It just makes a heel even more heelish.
Yeah, they haven't done that in forever.
Yeah, the last was Vicky. Well, the last time I saw a wheelchair, Kane threw somebody off the stage with it.
Zack Ryder. Yes.
That was hilarious.
This pathetic storyline.
Yeah. When I see heels in a wheelchair, I always go back to It's a Wonderful Life with the banker in the wheelchair. Wow. It's being like, he's the ultimate villain in that movie.
That's
he's in
true.
A wheelchair. Might be obscure to many people, but...
Oh, no way.
I mean, we've all seen the movie, but
yeah.
It's an obscure reference for wrestling. Mr. Potter.
Mr. That's Potter and Mr. McMahon.
Oh, yeah, he's Mr. McMahon now. Now he's on the crutches. So that means he's probably going to be a little bit more interactive.
That's a great picture, though. I'd hang that in my office if I were him.
Well, he has the dinosaur head, so he might as well put that up.
Yeah.
Gonna intimidate ya. Here's my bloody face.
He doesn't even know how to walk on crutches. He's, like, not even good at faking
No, this is terrible.
This is the guy that rips both his quads in 2005. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Still doesn't sell it.
Yeah, he's just walking.
I didn't notice that last time we watched this.
He's not even using walking.
It's actually just being, it's like lazy walking.
He's like angry that he has to use them. You've always heard the old legend that he hates when people sneeze, he hates weaknesses and stuff, so he probably hates faking that he's weak right now.
Yeah.
Weak? Worked out for 2 hours this morning.
He really doesn't know how to use crutches.
I see your boy Earl Hebner in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, of course he's in there. All right, I didn't, like I said, I didn't watch this match ahead, so I don't know what's in store with Earl Hebner. I'm sure something will happen.
That guy stole The Rock's cookbook in the audience right there.
Smells what he's cooking then.
Exactly. Dude, the people in the audience kill me.
Love Vince.
Oh my.
What?
Because he's got the money. He's got all the money.
That was totally a 90s Vince outfit there. Club? That plaid.
What is this? Vince is
Vince is over.
Where is this?
Vince is my dad.
Yeah,
in
where
the background.
Is this? Where is this fully loaded pay per view?
Buffalo? Is it Buffalo? Am I wrong? No.
Looks like it's down south. I'm not gonna lie.
But
it is Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo. It is Buffalo? Okay. Buffalo, New York is like the south of the north.
Oh, is it? Okay.
it's like southern Canada.
Yeah, yeah. It's the buffer.
Which, like, Calgary is, like, straight up Texas, basically. It's just cool.
Yeah. That's the West Coast, though. So.
Yeah.
The East Coast. East Coast South.
There's the man.
Looks badass during this time.
Yeah, he's in hella shape then. Like, he doesn't look ripped and everything, but he's a thick boy.
Big strong boy.
It's funny, though, because I'm pretty sure he was nursing quite a bit of injuries during this time, too. We covered, like, one of the UK pay-per-views where he just, like, can barely walk in the middle of the match, something with his ankle or something, or his groin, maybe.
The next one, Rebellion, coming up?
Yeah, it might be the next one coming up, yeah.
How many breaks does he have, really, between, like, 99 and, what, 92? Or 94? He took, like, a short break, right, after the Rumble?
Yeah, 94, he ascended into heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For several weeks.
JV, you were there for that one.
Yeah, I was there for that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was the first pay-per-view I'd ever gone to.
Oh, my God.
Royal Rumble.
Whoa.
That's why I knew it was 94 or 92. I always forget the year, but I was at the Providence Civic Center.
Wow. That's amazing.
I remember
that's
I had glasses.
One of my favorite pay-per-views.
It got all smoky. I was like, I can't see. I looked at my dad.
I can't believe you were there. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's one. I mean, I watched that over and over and over again as a kid. I loved Undertaker, Yokozuna stuff. That was my favorite.
That's when Luger and Bret Hart.
Oh yeah.
In time, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that
and
sign?
It actually worked out.
There's a sign in the crowd that just said, "We're waiting for Jericho."
Oh wow.
Yeah, the countdown is already on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What's I forget if I knew it was Jericho then. I got 22:45.
All right.
2:49:51. Yep. I got the white screen right now. All the smoke's covering the screen.
Yep. Sounds good.
Same page.
Yeah, I remember Jericho, people were kind of assuming it was him with the countdown and everything. Again, that's Vince Russo that brought him in, you know, kind of had that idea with him. Jericho tells that story, so kind of cool. But then he didn't get to work with him because he was gone by the time he debuted. Right after he debuted, I guess.
So, Earl Hebner just got scared out of the ring, like you guys bring up often. At this time.
Oh, yeah. Undertaker's always intimidating the refs.
I love when they would do this backstage, where they would follow the guy, like a boxing match, and just follow him up to the entranceway.
And they play, like, that heartbeat music.
Yeah.
Almost like the beginning of Bret Hart's music.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys said you hadn't covered this on the show yet, but... Stone Cold has already been busted open this night already. So
yeah.
On First Blood night, on Sunday Night Heat, he was already
on
busted.
Heat, yep.
Open.
Yep.
Oh, that's right, because that's recorded before this, right? The Heat.
Yeah.
Which I like, because then it makes you think, oh, he's going to get busted open easily.
Exactly.
Right, and that's the story.
In that case, that's good. But to have somebody busted open all the time, every week, it's like, all right, we get it. It's a First Blood match coming up.
Going.
Oh, here we are.
Oh, shit.
That's the
yeah,
thing that bothered
right
us. Yeah. Oh, there they go.
Big right hands from Austin. Signature right hands.
Is he out?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just like it's supposed, the selling point of the pay-per-view is supposed to be First Blood, and you've already seen all these guys bleed, including on Sunday Night Heat. He bled
right.
And 2 hours before this match even started.
It's like, yeah, if you're going to have a cage match, why are you going to have 5 cage matches leading up to the cage match?
That's
like,
it.
Yep. Like, oh, this is what a cage match is. Like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them wait for what it is. Austin's covering up. That's good.
I love the intensity. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anything, these guys are very physical with each other. That's
what
makes these matches pretty good overall.
And they always start in the aisleway, these two. They hardly ever wait for the ring. They just go at it, and it's great. But yeah, the story of this match is not who can bleed first, it's who can reopen the wound on your forehead, basically. It's a first wound reopening match, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Because we didn't talk about it, but we saw Taker ring holding the, you know, the ice on his head, and he was bleeding, and he threw it across the, you know, the way. So he's being busted open too, so. Knows what it's like to be the WWF champion. Perfect psychology with him holding his hands up.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Like full,
yeah, protect
full
the stitches,
defense.
As JR just said.
Yeah,
yeah. You listeners out there, and you guys probably don't have the audio up, but Vince McMahon's on commentary, and I always loved during this time when he was back on commentary.
Oh, yeah.
It just brought me back to childhood.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's that voice. Even though a lot of people crap on the 1-2. Oh, no, he's got him. He didn't get him. All that. It's just fond memories to me to hear his voice on commentary. Even how horrible he could be at times. And here
nobody
he is here.
Nobody says what a maneuver like Vince McMahon.
Yeah. What a maneuver.
Yeah. A dude has no idea what the maneuvers are called, but he just calls it whatever. It's great. Maneuver. Who cares? Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you can rip on, you know, his cliches and everything, but he's a promoter. He knows how to draw you in.
Yes.
Even when he's playing the Mr. McMahon character, he just can kind of tell that story and get you into it in a way that so many people can't nowadays.
Yep.
Well, that was funny, though. He was probably thinking, like, this is sports entertainment. I don't want my listeners to have to remember a bunch of moves. I'm just going to call them maneuvers. That'll be easy for everybody. What a maneuver. Yeah. This is not an on-ground takedown. This is what a maneuver. Make it simple.
Yeah, you could go the other way, and Tony Schiavone called full-on dragon twist. So.
Full-on dragon. Yeah.
I actually had that shirt I was got it for Christmas for me last year. Did you guys know this Taker just threw steps into the audience? I mean, that's great.
Yeah, wow.
That's got to be a liability.
Look at all that open space, though.
Say, the security's doing a good job keeping them, like...
They are.
Giving them some, like, room to work.
All those shirts tucked into the shorts.
Yeah, what's going on, man? What is that?
So 99.
Look at the Rhino security guard.
He's the purple suit guy. He's awesome.
It's like Clyde
Travis, you'll remember that being a rule in our middle school that we had to tuck our t-shirts into our shorts for security.
Really?
Yeah.
After Columbine.
It was part of the dress code.
Pretty reasons after, you had to do that?
After the tragedy at Columbine, they assumed that you can't bring a gun to school if your shirt's tucked in, I guess. So you had to tuck your shirt in.
Makes sense.
I don't know. But, I mean, in all seriousness, that was why. It was about post-Columbine, you had to tuck your shirt in. So we did for middle school and high school.
Oh, shit.
I don't think our school took any.
What year was Columbine? I don't even remember.
99.
It was
99.
April 20th, 99.
April 20th.
Yeah. I remember after 9/11, like the high school we were in put in like cameras and like they changed the entrances. Like they needed to like get badged in and shit.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild. At Diamond, yeah. They changed the whole security protocol. My senior year.
To 99? Oh, your senior year.
Yeah, after gone. Yeah, after 9/11. Yeah. You were gone.
Davey's year behind me.
Yeah. Okay. I was born in 84, graduated in 02.
I'm 01.
We're 04.
04.
Yep.
So we've been talking for like 5 minutes now, and the match just got in the ring.
Yeah, there it is.
Undertaker's got Austin in the corner. Big knee to the gut.
But he was ripping at that thing on his forehead, you know, trying to bust it. Now look, he's got his knuckle sticking out.
Yeah. It looks like he's busted open already.
He is. I'm pretty sure he's bleeding.
And that should be over.
Yeah.
It definitely looked like he's bleeding, right?
You think they could have an Iron Man first blood match?
Oh my god.
First one to make each
How
other
many bleed. Cuts can you
yeah.
Yeah. Let's go 60-minute first blood.
First one to pass out.
First one to open as many cuts in 60 minutes wins.
Who loses a pint of blood?
That sounds
first.
Like another Russo thing. I can't believe he never thought of that.
It's like a Saw movie.
That's going to be a John Moxley thing on AEW. Watch.
Gotta
fill I swear
this
I thought that sign in the crowd. Did y'all see that sign in the crowd? I thought it said, I'm here to wipe Austin's ass.
Whoa.
It said whip. I thought it said wipe.
Whoa. Wrong platform, buddy.
Sounds like something Austin would say by accident.
Yeah.
Well, the guy spelled it WIP.
Oh, okay.
Hillbillies in Buffalo.
Buffalo, told ya.
No offense to your listeners in Buffalo.
I have a gripe against Buffalo because we're New England Patriot fans here.
Yeah.
Right.
And Buffalo is one of our rivals in football.
That's right.
And when I went up to Buffalo to watch a Patriots game, they are the worst fans. They're just bullying me.
You mean the Bills Mafia?
Yeah, Bills Mafia
is brutal. They're legit like crazy. Scared, but putting on a strong, you know.
That's all they've got to root for up there, honestly. So
that's all they got.
Yeah, well, they got that, and they got Niagara Falls, and that's all they got.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like Canada's though. They borrow that.
Yeah,
That's like your neighbor puts up a nice fence. You're like, ah, look at my fence. But you tell your friends that it's like really their fence they paid for and everything. You know.
Speaking of fence, I need some defense here because I think Austin's head is bloody under there.
Well, he's that's working a that huge bandage. It might be, or it's cancer. Yeah. I don't know. Might be a tumor, buddy.
The tumor.
There's your boy Earl getting right in there.
Seems okay so far. I have nothing to gripe about with Earl.
Have you seen him recently in AEW?
Yeah, so far he's fine there too, I think.
But the other refs suck there.
I mean, how old is he at this? I can't believe he's in AEW.
I know, that's crazy.
Well, I think he's at 140. This point,
yeah, I would say he's probably like 45 here. So he's got to be 60-something.
Damn.
Right?
That's crazy.
Guess he didn't get in on that that WWE IPO.
He was like stealing money or something like that.
He sold bootleg shirts out of his trunk.
Was he?
Yeah, that's why he got fired.
No, I never knew that. No kidding.
Yeah. He was selling bootleg shirts out of his trunk and stuff. And that's the story.
So, damn.
Taker's covering his head because he can't believe what I just told that story on the air.
Yeah. Hubden has been a shyster since the Andre the Giant storyline.
That's right, man. He's always in it for the money.
And he's in the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah. See, it's his character.
Very on brand.
Austin's nursing his knee here. He's vulnerable.
There is 70 years. He's 70.
Yeah. I think he's only got one knee brace at this point, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only one.
Hebner is 70 now, so he's flares it.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's crazy. Yeah, there's the old Rhino security guard, like you said.
Rhino.
I forgot that guy's name. He looks like Reno from WCW.
You only wear that hat if you're a security guard.
Triple H.
Triple H.
You know Triple H doesn't really wear that. He just tries to be cool.
Yeah.
He's a little Harley Davidson.
Greenwich. Nobody wears that.
Yeah. Greenwich.
Yeah.
Man, imagine being in the crowd right now.
Oh, yeah. Irish whip to the bear kit. Oh, over the bear kit.
That's something awesome. I've never experienced. Have you guys, like when they go in the ring and they're right in front of you? At least for like a
not
WWE
quite game. That. When we were at December to Dismember, Sandman stood right next to us and cracked his beer open, and like the beer like got all over us. Like, yeah. you can see us on the pay-per-view. That's the only, I've never been in it where like guys were fighting around us, but we did get Sandman's beer on us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's cool.
And when I was at that Raw in Atlanta where the invasion happened, the ECW guys came down for the main event right next to my, like, one seat away from me. So you can see me on the TV when they come down.
Nice.
That's kind of neat. Please. But I haven't had any brawls next to us.
Sandman's in our hometown tonight.
Ooh.
Fall River.
Oh, is he? He's at the Eagle?
Yeah, he's at the Eagle at Top Rope Promotions. Oh. And so is Sabu. Sabu's against the Devil's Reject.
I didn't know all these guys were there. I was shocked they weren't into the Eagle, because that's a pretty big, like, it's a bigger venue than that.
Yeah, and it's pretty classy looking, too, so.
Not after tonight.
My cousin said that on Facebook.
Definitely not classy.
Yeah, not after tonight.
It's extreme today.
Hey, well, this is something.
And I can only imagine the crowd there, too.
Something Austin's doing right now that you can't do in 2019 is just
that's true.
With boards.
With
or hit people with tiny fans.
Yeah.
So. Look at that.
That was Taker's smallest fan.
That is the smallest fan.
Back
well,
in
if
the
I
ring,
was that commented, I'd be pissed if you took my little tiny fan.
It's probably hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Buffalo, though. How hot is it? Oh, it is July.
It is July.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
it's
good. Oh, he's now involved.
Good, kick him down. Kick him down.
Of course.
Oh, he misses. What? Oh, he's tied up in the rope.
Uh-oh, Taker's tied up. Oh, Austin's giving him the business. And doesn't do anything.
Leaving the ring for... He's going to get a chair? There we go.
Ah, there we go. Vince can't believe it.
Why would McMahon put Undertaker in this spot when they're not getting along? Oh!
Shane O'Mac.
Shane McMahon takes a chair shot to the head as he runs in. Jesus. And now Hebner is...
Vince's expression was funny there.
This is going to yell at Austin. This, like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me upset. Like,
yeah, he's always putting the attention on himself.
Now he helps Taker out. The spot's over. Ooh, low blow from Taker. Low blow. That it matters. I mean, the ref was distracted, but who cares? It's the first one.
That was a pretty bad sell job from Austin, too. It was delayed.
Not the best.
It's a loss of blood, man. You bond with.
You know what's great? Yeah, you don't feel it. I was trying to say earlier, like, these guys are not taking any breaks. Like, it's just been constant action. Like, nobody's just laying out. No, like, replays. Nothing. Like, it's just they're constantly bringing it to each other.
It's true.
Absolutely right.
Taker's going dastardly heel mode and removing the top turnbuckle pad to expose that vicious circle. That seems to wound anyone who gets close. The
turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Little the turnbuckle wrench or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah. A little tiny circle. It hurts people tremendously.
Yeah. Oh, stunner.
We got a stunner.
Vince McMahon's hobbling.
It's like he's dancing.
Yeah, look at him. He's swinging at him, like, kind of hit him in the ankle.
Stand.
Oh, nice shot to the face.
I think he forgot what injury he actually has with the crutches.
Sell John.
You're not supposed to be able to move like that.
He was trying to sell the torn quads in the future.
Yeah. This Taker hits him with a gut shot, and now he's gonna set up for a smash down to the back. There you go.
Get right
and
guy. Taker's like, shut the fuck up, buddy. Be gone.
Right into the corner.
Should have done with the exposed turnbuckle.
That's what he should have
done. Ooh. Oh, he does his one spot, his one move.
There you go.
Spinning heel kick.
I'll tell you what, dude. He was over like Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
You talk about X-Pac heat. Like, he was X-Pac over back then.
Oh, yeah. What's that pay-per-view? Was that that, British pay-per-view we covered where he was with end and just like super over.
Oh yeah,
we celebrated with him at the end. It was insane. The whole UK
was
crowd,
awesome,
loving it. Well, the Taker,
size of that camera.
Just, yeah, it's huge.
I was gonna say this is the one match with Austin and the other Taker that we haven't seen someone getting choked with cables.
Oh, they did that earlier. They did that at the announce table.
Oh, I must have missed it. Damn.
Oh, Taker's busted open from the camera shot.
Oh, the referee is down.
But kind of looking at him, kind of down. Slugging away.
Vince McMahon's face. He has the greatest facials. That doesn't sound right.
But... No one better.
Yeah.
Him and William Regal.
Yes, William Regal's great.
And that's it.
Oh, so he noticed.
Finally, he did the right thing. Yeah. That's it.
Vince McMahon. Oh, another stunner. That's a fun match.
Oh, man.
Vince.
Looks like he busted his quads. And another stunner.
How much fun is Austin having? He's getting paid millions of dollars to cuss out his boss.
Oh, here we have Triple H running.
Oh my god, everybody in on this match.
So Triple H had won the number one contenders match earlier.
That's right.
Against The Rock, right?
To go up against...
Yeah.
Yeah, against The Rock.
Speaking of...
And there's The Rock now.
Yeah, he had won that earlier, but he hasn't yet. He's going to, I guess, cash that in kind of at SummerSlam.
Right. And then that man kind of gets involved.
Right, and then he wins it the next night.
Yeah.
It was awesome doing a blade job.
Yep. Hey, good eye.
Getting rid of the evidence right there. That's why he got the juice at him.
Yeah, I never used to notice that stuff as a kid, but I can't help but see it nowadays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I still didn't see it. I still
Taker just rung the ring bell. Did you guys see Taker ring the ring bell? This match isn't over.
It's relentless at each other.
This is awesome.
These guys are bloody men.
I love it.
Oh my god.
And having the energy though at that point to just, all right, I gotta do this spot where I gotta blade myself and roll out of the ring and get this under there and just all the things you have to remember to do when you're so exhausted. Oh.
I can't imagine.
That was my favorite part right there. Taker knocked the bottle away, about to hit his head or the beard or whatever, and then punched Shane in the face.
That was awesome.
And you can't teach that.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
Oh,
the Undertaker's special powers. He knew that was coming. Boom.
That's right.
Punched it right out of the way.
We got Tom Pritchard, Sergeant Dr. Tom, Tim White pulling the Taker off. Ooh, Zaya. Look at this intensity.
And
they're not done.
They're not settled here.
Even though it's supposed to be the end of an era.
Right. End of an era. I guess that is pertaining to Vince McMahon in the
yeah.
era.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he's on Raw the next night.
Yeah.
You gonna say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, something like that. But this is the actual, this is the end of the Ministry of Darkness, basically, right here for Undertaker. He'll go on and team with Big Show the next month, and then be written off just a little bit after that. But this is pretty much the end of that era.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It seemed like over the past few weeks, the Ministry has just been falling apart.
Right.
So no more Midian on TV, huh?
Oh, there's still plenty of Midian.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
nice.
Don't you worry about that.
Austin's offering a handshake to his boss. Congratulatory handshake.
Oh, kicks him. That was a legit kick to the nuts, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that
crowd in Buffalo. Everybody's on their feet.
Oh, my God.
They're loving it.
Hard cam side, non-hard cam side, everybody's on their feet. Nowadays, you see that doofus with the green shirt.
with his mom?
Yeah, taking pictures.
The guy with his mom?
Yeah, and yeah, the long-haired dude with his mom. Green shirt. Taking pictures, sitting down. I'm like, what do y'all pay millions of dollars to go to these shows and not get into it?
Yeah, flying across the country and you're putting your thumbs down for every little thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Shane can't believe it.
You know, my one regret is I never got to go to, like, a true Attitude Era show live, seeing Stone Cold, like, in his peak like this. Like, that's my only regret in wrestling.
Yeah, neither did I. I was just too young.
Yeah.
If I was just a little older, I would have went on my own, but my parents weren't bringing me to this.
Nothing like it.
The earliest show that I actually was able to go to was... it was a Nitro, a rare Nitro up here in Providence, where Eric Bischoff came down on a motorcycle.
Yes, you were there?
I was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was not at
that. But we got jit. Yeah, I went with our friend Robbie. And it was rare because it was the night of the NBA Finals, so it was only an hour show.
Yeah.
Egypt.
Oh. There you go.
They gave us a bunch of other matches, but it was not on TV.
Yeah, you got screwed over.
Yeah. All right, so that's Fully Loaded. 1999, that was a fun match.
Well, Fully Loaded with blood.
It was a lot more fun than I remembered it being.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty entertaining.
I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I think entertaining was the word for that, because it wasn't like a five-star. It wasn't a D'Amelinco, Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Slow and plotting either. It was entertaining the whole time.
Yeah, it's almost like an indie show.
And like Alex said, they didn't take a break. It was constant action.
Ruthless aggression.
Oh, we're getting there.
Not yet.
All right, so generally we'll give a skull rating on the matches that we have with Austin. And... we go, Meltzer rating, basically, 1 through 5. So, we'll let the guests go first. What do you guys have for a skull rating of this match?
You know, I'll go straight Straight down the middle, I'll give it a 3 skulls out of 5. A little bit above halfway right there. It was a lot more fun than I remember it being. And like you said, Stone Cold and Undertaker don't have always the best matches, but there was a ton of action and blood and everything and gaga and whatever in there that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it good enough.
That is exactly what I was going to say. I'd give it 3 skulls because it's, you know, it wasn't 5-star classic, but it was entertaining the entire time. Definitely was not a dud or anything, but, you know, it was really good. I give it a 3, which is solid.
All right. You guys got me. Same exact thing. Yeah, 3 skulls.
Yeah. I had to go. I don't know. Yeah. For basically the same, you know, same reasons.
Great minds think alike.
That's right. Well,
3 skulls for that match there. It was fun. So,
I wonder if that was in the Tokyo Dome. What would you guys have?
It probably would have been in 4.
Just... Sorry, I had to.
Yeah. Tokyo Dome audience, the ambiance, that bumps it up. Yo, even if it was at Crown Jewel, it would be more.
They could do it next year at Crown Jewel.
I'd love to see it. Bring it on.
I'll take a Stone Cold.
Bring
Stone
all Cold those one, guys back.
One more match.
Triple H, X-Pac, Rock, Vince, Shane. Have them all out there.
Now that I'd watch. I'd talk shit about it and complain, but I'd watch it and love
spot
it.
Spot for spot recreation.
Yeah, yeah. They're just going to redo like Raw's 300 to like 700 all of Saudi Arabia.
That's what they want over there anyway. So
it is, exactly.
I was talking, we're in a chat, all our buddies and I, with wrestling. And I had said earlier in the night about the, just about like kind of the state of wrestling and how the rest of the world loves everything that WWE just puts out. Like, whoever the fan favorite is, Roman Reigns, they just love him because...
Yeah.
It is. So I was like, it's like 80s and 90s wrestling for the rest of the world. But here in America, everyone likes to just bitch about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Just gets it. The rest of the world just gets it. It's like, that's the way it is. This is who we root for. This is just fun. And everyone in America is just critical about everything.
Like, no, we want to write it, and this is how it should have been, and I don't know.
Right. It's our culture to just be against whatever's put out there. That's what it
Yeah, and I started to get that way. I started to get that way a few years ago, and I did just tell myself, dude, just enjoy it for what it is, man. It's wrestling, and you're not the writer. So I try to do that. I try to be optimistic, and we're both optimistic on our show. You know, but there's definitely a lot of stuff that definitely grinds my gears, but I just – try not to take it too seriously. Just let it be fun.
No, Travis, you're like me too. It's wrestling, but you want it to be logical.
Yeah,
you want
exactly.
The story to make sense.
Yeah, I don't want to be insulted for my fandom for the last 30 years of my life.
Then you try to exactly. Defend it. You're like, oh, yeah, well. And you just realize how stupid you are trying to defend it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this is silly.
All right, so thanks, Talking Taker guys, Alex and Travis, for joining us. We're going to just do our little plugs, and we'll start with you guys. So, Talking Taker's here. So, what do you guys have coming up on your episode a week later? So, maybe your next 2 episodes, what do you have in store?
Okay, well, we just kicked off 2006 in The Undertaker. So, we just covered Undertaker and Kurt Angle's epic match at No Way Out 2006. Yeah. So we're going to head into WrestleMania 22 against Mark Henry. And then Undertaker's first encounter with the Great Khali. So you guys say some extra prayers for us as we start unraveling that rivalry. Just thanks to you guys for always plugging the show. You guys have been really kind to us and been a great podcasting friends to us online, always supporting the show. It means a lot to us, and we are grateful to be joining you guys here tonight. It's been fun.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for, you know, just like I said, being our brother podcast, basically, and being partners here. And you know, whenever we have an opportunity to join together, we connect with each other and always support each other. And you know, that's what podcasts should do, you know.
Absolutely.
Help each other out.
Yeah, it's not a podcast war. It's just, you know, it's just share it and I'll be friends and it's all more content, the better.
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody's getting paid here.
So, I mean, if you guys are, please tell us who you're paying.
No money coming in here.
Wait a second. We just did this, so we're not getting paid for it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm out.
All right, so that's Talking Taker, obviously, and check their show out, and check them out at Talking Taker on Twitter. We also want to shout out our friends at Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast, and they are covering NWA, WCW Saturday Night episodes. They're currently in 1988, and this week, on Thursday, they're doing July 9th, 1988. They also do a second show on Sundays for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It's called the Wrestling Recap, and they are doing episode 168 from April 15th, 1995, and they're getting to the end of Smoky Mountain Wrestling there. So check out Booking the Territory with Mike Mills, Hard Buddy Hopper, and Doc Turner. And also be sure, like I said at the top of the show, to check JV and I on the BTT Patreon tier, the $5 tier, for the Extreme ECW Livecast. And this week we'll be releasing the Supercard special of Ultra Clash 1 from September 18th, 1993. So check us out there.
And what the heck is the main event of Ultra Clash? What is that?
It's it's Terry Funk.
Awesome.
Matches. What the hell is it?
Terry Funk and Hansen?
Yeah, Terry Funk and Stan Hansen against...
Oh, I thought you meant the Umbop guys.
Yeah, it's a tag match.
Wow.
Terry Funk and Stan Hansen, and they're going up against...
Well, I can't believe it. Wasn't it Kevin Sullivan and someone else?
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan and Abdullah Butcher.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the main event.
We're actually getting some like good, like, I don't know, better performers now. Yeah, yeah.
And you also get the
ECW
champion match between Shane Douglas and the Sandman.
Y'all probably see even more blood on that show than we saw tonight.
I don't know. We'll see.
If you eat at Abdul the Butcher's restaurant, you say, cool, actually. We have a story about that. We'll share with you next time.
Oh, he's got a restaurant? Like, legit?
He used to.
No kidding.
He had. Had.
Oh. Uh-oh. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Sounds like Board of Health got involved.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Cooking cats in there?
Jeez.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we'll be doing that watch along coming up on the Extreme ECW Livecast. And if you want to reach out to JV and I, we're on Twitter at MPRU83. That's me, Mike Pru. And JV is at John Van Damage with an H. John with an H, John Van Damage. And we're also at Bottom Line Cast. And we also have a Facebook page that got taken down.
What?
For some BS reason. Yeah, we just got a notification this past week that we might be impersonating somebody.
Oh, my God.
So they're reviewing our page. I had to send in an appeal to explain what the page is. So somebody had to have went on there and reported it.
Yeah, well, some troll.
Of us. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't us.
Like,
no.
But why, like, somebody that finds out about us...
I promise it wasn't
would
Stone
do that.
Yeah, like, definitely not Stone Cold.
He's the only one that has
I mean, if it is Stone Cold, then fine. It's Stone Cold.
Tell us, Stone. Steve. DM me on Twitter. We announce it on every episode. I'm sure you fucking heard our handles. Let's work this out. Just give us our fucking account back.
How does anybody get confused with what this is?
Yeah, I know. Like, you think we're getting rich off this? No.
And we only have 50 followers on Facebook.
I know.
We've had, like, 5 new ones in the past week, so I know it's one of those guys that are behind this.
Yeah, our Facebook, we got nothing on our Facebook either. It's weird.
I think, like, yeah. 80% of our followers are probably from, like, another country.
Yep, we get a lot of those.
Yeah, so I doubt they'd report us.
Oh, hopefully, you know, we get that published back up there because, you know, it's nice to just put the episodes out there because people do see it on there. And I just feel insulted by getting that message. Oh, you've been shut down. What? Clear in the description, it says it's a chronological podcast, and Mike Prue and JV. It's like, we're not Stone Cold Steve Austin. How can you be fooled by that? But anyway, that's what happened. So we'll be on Facebook hopefully one day, or if not, screw Facebook.
And that's right. That's,
and that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
That's also, as I said earlier in the show, check out our YouTube page and subscribe to that. The episodes will be coming gradually. I'll try to put on like another 40 this weekend and try to catch up to where we are. Pretty tedious. So I get tired after like 5 episodes. Like, yeah, that's enough. So I'll do like 5 episodes per, you know, every 5 hours or so. So that'll be updated soon. And that's about it. Talk and take, guys. Alex and Travis, do you have anything left you want to say?
If you were there at Buffalo, please let us know. If you were there this night in July 25th, 1999, please let Bottom Line Cast know. Let Talk and Take know. We want to know what happened, like how excited that crowd was. And
yeah.
We always want to see, we always try to find out who was there and if they respond. We've had several throughout the last 116 episodes, so it's neat to hear from somebody who's actually there. So hopefully they'll reach out to you if they have.
Awesome, yeah. You guys do that on your show. That's a good thing to do, is see who is actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Call there, Travis. All right, guys. So this is the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. We're out. This is a special edition. We'll be back next week with our regular episode covering August of 1999, leading up to SummerSlam. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV, and the guys from Talking Taker, Alex and Travis. We are out of here. And as Stone Cold and Forrest Gump like to say, that's all I got to say about that. So long.
And that's all I had to say about that.